The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member. And we don't mean your Aunt Dolores.
You stink!
The TNT Shop has it all. At TNTRadio.live. This is Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast with Joseph Arthur and Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus, on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Elon Musk says Alex Jones can't come back on Twitter. He says you can have free speech back, but not without a babysitter. And Adam Ruckus Clark is on Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast. FTX has stolen everybody's money that was made to last. Oh no, Elon Musk says there ain't no way Alex Jones is coming back on Twitter. He says you can have free speech back, but not with out a babysitter. Is Elon Musk our babysitter? Adam Ruckus Clark, welcome to the program. How are you, my friend?
Elon Musk, our babysitter. Normally I would say no, and that's a good thing. But now that I think about it, I mean, you must be pretty darn well off if the world's richest man is your babysitter, right? Right? Yeah. I don't know, man. No, we don't need a freaking babysitter. We're grown-ups around here. Last time I checked, you do have to at least be a grown-up to sign up for Twitter. I could be wrong there. If someone wants to fact-check me, go for it. I don't mind. It's cool with me. How you doing, Joseph?
I'm good, man. Is it an 18-plus platform? Is that right? I didn't know that.
I think so.
Who knows?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm so far beyond 18 at this point. Every one of y'all seems like kids to me. Now, what do you think to that, though? I mean, is that disappointing to you? Doesn't move the ruckus dial any? I mean, I was a little, I don't know. It seems like Tim Pool had something to say about that. He was like, Elon's free speech claims are BS. And I saw Five Times August tweet about it with that emoji of the confused face that's not smiling or frowning, you know, that one. But it is interesting. He gave a hard no to somebody asking for Alex Jones to be reinstated.
He gave a hard no to everyone asking for Alex Jones to be restored. There were quite a number of people on Twitter today asking for that.
I just saw one.
Yeah, you shared one with me, and that's actually the one you shared is actually a pretty good one. Viva Fry, he's a pretty big YouTuber. I don't know if you watch his YouTube. I do like that guy. Yeah, but he has a pretty large following, so I can't speak to the huge amount of following some of these other people. But the interesting thing is that Elon Musk seems to be replying to people regardless of the size of their following or whether or not they have his fancy schmancy $8 a month blue check mark with the same simple reply. No, no, no. And they're like, okay. So yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Oh, and then of course he's got a poll up about whether or not we should reinstate Trump, right? Is that the other thing he's got going on, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, 60% were for it, 40% were against it last time I checked.
Yeah, okay, but we don't get a poll about Alex Jones. We just get no.
All right,
yeah.
So I don't know Viva Fry, and I'm going to check him out now that you told me to. Alex Jones is the litmus test, Elon Musk, not just on the issue of freedom of speech, but on the issue of not bending the knee to political and judicial intimidation. If this is a hard no, your Twitter will never be any more trustworthy than Paraga or Jack's Twitter. And then he just wrote back, too bad. So, I mean, jeez. You know, he's got a lot of edge. But I think that's an interesting point. I always, you know, and every time you bring up Alex Jones, then people freak out and think that you're like, you know, putting posters on your wall with Alex Jones on them. But that's not the case. Alex Jones is just the canary in the coal mine, as Viva Frey is expressing here. He's the litmus test. And I really do believe that. I mean, he's the litmus test for a lot of these things. Again, it just comes down to, I don't have to agree with what you say, but I'll die with my last breath for your right to say that. If you're deplatforming people, I don't know. It's not really free speech. It's free speech light, or I don't know. Is free speech a black or white ish? Is free speech black and white? Like, is it a, you know, is there a gray area with free speech? How do you think about this, Ruckus?
It's like they do this with truth. They did this with science. They do this with a lot of things, right? It's their definition of it rather than the inherent self-realizing reality, factual truth of it. You know what I mean? So, but we don't have to wonder what it looks like. We know now, but he came out and he said, I'm looking at the tweet right now. This is what Elon Musk says. I don't know how long ago this tweet was. New Twitter policy is freedom of speech, but not freedom of reach. Get it? See? And that's his official, that's what he's saying the policy is. So he says negative or hate tweets will be max deboosted and demonetized, so no ads or other revenue to Twitter. You won't find the tweet unless you specifically seek it out, which is no different from rest of internet. Good point, Elon. By the way, I'm looking at this and I'm absolutely appalled to see that he changed his profile picture to, I'm 99.9% sure here, that's him wearing that demon devil suit.
Yeah, it is.
So I'm like, okay, that's interesting.
All right. Well, so let's comment on that, what you just said. That's fine. If that's your stance, then don't push any tweets you don't agree with or that you deem, I don't know, edgy in the wrong direction. That's fair enough. But then with Alex Jones, he's saying a hard no to having a Twitter account. So that's different. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
in this realm, what you just read, it should be like just reinstate everybody. And then depending on their behavior, so goes their Twitter account, basically.
That's exactly what I was wondering.
That would be free speech.
Yeah, exactly. It would be. But so here's the thing. So by this definition, that must mean or imply, not that Elon Musk is involved with that lawsuit or anything, but looking at this from the 30,000 foot view or whatever, that would imply that whatever Alex Jones is guilty of is not considered negative or hate speech on Twitter, and it's something else entirely. And whatever that something else entirely is, and I know what Karen Hunt might say about this already, and you could probably guess what the answer is, fill in the blank here, there is a special thing that will also not even be allowed on Twitter. So even though you can go on and have hate speech on Twitter if that you so feel, but obviously this is their definition, but yeah, I guess you can go on Twitter and have hate speech, but that's fine. No one's going to find it unless they seek it out. But whatever type of speech that is particular to Alex Jones and or fill in the blank in the future, whoever that may be, it just won't even be on Twitter. So poof, gone.
Well, you know, he was found guilty of defamation. So, you know, I don't know. It's like, what are the statute of limitations of that? Does that mean you're just forever banned from social media because, you know, you made a mistake?
It's a company. They you can know, do whatever
and if it's,
want.
If it's, I get it, but it's more than that. It's the town square. It's the de facto town square. And it's where the battle of free speech is being, you know, that particular war is being waged on that battlefield, really. I mean, in the mainstream, anyway. It's being waged all over the place, but, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
But it brings us full circle back to, yeah, obviously that's why, and the situation we're facing is, yeah, this would be the ultimate litmus test. And, the test was applied, and Elon failed. So if you were to ask me, is Elon Musk the king of free speech and everything that he said that, you know, in Twitter and the public speech and the forum and all this crap? Nope. All fake, all baloney. And people like our good friend Karen Hunt is probably closer to his true intentions, which has nothing to do with free speech whatsoever.
You know, and then the response to Viva Fry, too bad, you know, I get it. The guy's insanely busy. He's responding to a lot of people, but you know, and there's something humorous about this sort of brazen stance he's taking on, but also it's kind of just like, dude, are you drunk with power? How much of that is you kind of joking and leaning in on to some kind of character, and how much of it is just, you're going mad with power like a superhero villain, you know, you certainly donned the costume. So it's just like, I don't know, man, it's strange. Yeah, it's disappointing. I wish he would just let everyone on the platform and go with the whole freedom of speech, not freedom of reach routine. I mean, he did let Jordan Peterson back on today. The Babylon Bee got back on, I think, probably a few others. I don't have
even
all
Kathy
of them in
Griffin,
front of me.
If you can believe
oh, yeah.
it.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good. He's See, like, yeah, spreading it around
not,
a little bit. So
he's
that's
not
good.
Picking sides. Yeah. But to your point, then, that's another thing I was curious about is like, okay, if people in the past on Twitter, a pretty smart, technologically advanced software thing going on there and all their data banks and all of this stuff, right? Okay, come on, they know what's up, right? They have a database full of people who've lost their account for what reason? And if the reason was for this baloney, phony, garbage censorship stuff, right? Whatever they label as this thing that he calls negative/hate tweets, right? So excluding other reasons, because they're obviously, you know, you're up there dumping child porn or inappropriate material. There's lots of reasons to have your content or your account, you know, taken off of Twitter, right? But if the reason was this unfair reason, that's cataloged somewhere. That's tagged. They could have just flicked a switch. Maybe it's not that easy, but you see what I'm saying? It's like, how difficult would it be to just boof automatically anyone and everyone? It doesn't even matter who you are, what you believe, what color of skin, if you're an alien, what your political beliefs are, whether it's whatever. Everyone should have been immediately reinstated at the flick of a switch. You know what I mean? And he didn't. And that's pretty telling to me. Yeah. Instead, it's like a case-by-case basis. Like here in this, his response to... he added on to his thread about the freedom of speech, freedom of reach thing. And he says, Kathy Griffin, Jordan Peterson, Babylon Bee have been reinstated. Trump decision has not yet been made. Like he's that's like your wild. Point. He's drunk on power. He's running around like a little kid knowing he's got the keys to the castle and he's handing out all these little VIP
cool
cards.
Look.
No, it's not.
Not
it's
a cool
really
look.
Stupid.
I'm surprised, like because when he was just a member of Twitter and he had this sort of personality, it worked. It was like I don't know, it was working. Now though, that he's holding the keys, it's too much. It's like, dude, tone it down a notch. Just give people back their accounts and let the chips fall where they may. I mean, I don't know, I think the world would be a much more interesting place if both Donald Trump and Alex Jones had Twitter accounts again. If Alex Jones ever did, I don't know. I never read his tweets or anything, so I'm assuming he probably did at one point. But I just think people should be on. And certainly Dr. Peter McCullough. I mean, come on. It's like, and the doctors that have lost their accounts. And you got your Steve Kirsch. Shout out Steve Kirsch. He should get his Twitter back as well. I mean... Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. It is, it's odd. I find it odd.
It gets worse. There's another thing this doesn't mention that we're all still left in the dark about. This is talking about negative or hate tweets. This has nothing to do with what we all experienced and what you got canceled for, quote unquote. And that would be like medical misinformation in the time of a pandemic. See? So... how does all of this free speech, or even with or without its freedom of reach, work in a time of pandemic when the World Health Organization is the one calling the shots? Elon, that's my question.
Right. Yeah, and giving out tons of misinformation, if I do say so myself, you know. So, I don't know, brother. Strange times indeed. Thank God for TNT, where free speech is alive and well. Well, the mother of disgraced crypto billionaire Sam Bankman-Fried is a Democrat fundraiser who once wrote an essay blasting personal responsibility. That's interesting. The mother of former FTX CEO Sam Bankman-Fried is a law professor and Democrat fundraiser who once wrote an essay decrying personal responsibility. The cryptocurrency platform filed for bankruptcy last week after users discovered that adjacent trading firm Alameda Research had allegedly been using consumer holdings from FTX to make investments following the incident in which billions of customers' dollars may have been stolen. The life of Bankman-Fried has come under scrutiny. What do you think to this? So her, his mother has strong ties to the Democrats and the fundraising history there that he has slotted himself into. Is he like the Greta Thunberg of finance or what, Ruckus?
I think he's a firstborn Illuminati, firstborn son Illuminati sacrifice. That's what my theory is. Because this guy's got to go down,
do
dude.
Do tell.
He's got to go down for what he did. I'm oh, please.
Is he gonna get Epstein? Weird. Are you saying?
Maybe.
Are you saying he's gonna get Epstein?
Maybe. Real quick. So his mother is not just got some interest in the Democratic Party and may or may not have helped to finance some of it. No, she runs a PAC, dude, a full on political action committee called Mind the Gap, which fundraises for the Democratic Party among executives, all those nice rich folks in Silicon Valley. So go figure, right? The organization raised nearly $4 million in the most recent midterm election cycle. So there you go. Also, his daddy is a lawyer of some sort. The chick, his one of his girlfriends there, Caroline Ellison or whatever, the head of Alameda, I think it's
the
her
nerdy
dad.
One.
Yeah, her dad is somehow involved with like MIT and has relationships or a connection to SEC's Gary Gensler. So there's all sorts of crazy stuff coming out of here. I caught an article on Gizmodo that said the headline, just the headline. Okay, I'll just read the headline. We won't read the article. Missing employees, $1 billion loan, and emoji payments. The nine most bat SHIT revelations from FTX's bankruptcy filing. So there's so much coming out every day about this. I heard something about a sex tape between this guy and the Alameda chick. This is just
nuts. I don't
want
to see that.
I know.
Can
no
I not
one does.
See
but
that? Can I put a
you know
request
what I want
to not see that to the universe?
Can I request
God or
something that I would like to see? I would like to see yeah. these people held responsible for their fraud, but that's what we're not seeing. Instead, this guy's supposedly going to be like the speaker at some big event hosted by the New York Times, where big people are going to be there, including Benjamin Netanyahu, Mark Zuckerberg, and Volodymyr Zelensky. But yeah, Sam's going to be there. He should be behind bars, dude.
I can't believe that's still going through. I mean, that's a, I remember when that LA Times hit piece came on, I lost gigs. That like venue said, oh, by the way, you're not playing here anymore. When I was scheduled to perform, I would think that they would say, hey, by the way, Sam, you're not talking at this event anymore. Sorry, guy. I mean, right? Isn't it wild that he's still booked? Who is this guy's booking agent? How do I get his number? We'll be right back with more with Adam Ruckus Clark after these words on TNT.
Rick Munn on TNT Radio.
We are worthy people. Albanians smuggled into the UK say they are excited for the future. Note, smuggled into the UK. It doesn't say Albanians smuggled into the UK are about to be kicked out again because they're illegal. It says they're excited for the future in the UK. They're just being welcomed in. The red carpet is out. They're being put up on cruise ships. They're being put up in luxury hotels, and I mean the best of the best. So yeah, of course they're excited. Who wouldn't be excited? I would be excited if I was given a free hotel suite, free money, free everything. I would be very excited, but yeah, I'm legal and I'm not getting it. It seems to be the way to get ahead these days is to get across the borders illegally and you will be well looked after.
Rick Munn is locked and loaded on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Google and Facebook, they don't sell you anything. They sell you.
Facebook constantly manipulates their users. They do it by the things that they insert into the news feeds, and they do it by the types of hosts they allow their users to see.
It's what Google and Facebook are doing on a regular basis, by suppressing stories, by steering us towards other stories rather than the stories we're actually seeking. That's the real manipulation that's going on.
I was a design ethicist at Google, where I studied how do you ethically steer people's thoughts.
It will always favor
one online music service over another and one candidate over another,
Google and Facebook,
has the power to undermine democracy without us knowing that democracy has been undermined.
There's what I call the creepy line, and the Google policy about a lot of these things is to get right up to the creepy line but not cross it.
Google crosses the creepy line every day.
Discover how society is manipulated by Google and Facebook. The creepy line at salemnow.com.
When you need to know what's going on around the world and at home, keep it on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast, here with Adam Ruckus Clark. Mike Rowe sounds the alarm on men not wanting to work anymore. He told Fox News this weekend that men are becoming soft and lazy, in part due to how much time they are spending on screens instead of working. This article goes on to say, I mean, last week there was an article in the New York Times called something like How to Combat the Assault on Modern Work, and I thought it was going to be an article on coal miners or crab fishermen or, you know, big tough jobs where the danger is real. It wasn't. It was an article about everything from paper cuts to non-existent pet bereavement policies that are being deemed harsh. I'm not making it up, he continued. And so we are in a place where 7 million able-bodied men are not only not working, but they're not looking for jobs. And he says that's never happened in peacetime ever. How are these guys supporting themselves then? What, Ruckus? Do you just quit life and go and the government starts sending you checks? What are these guys doing to eat? I'm curious.
Dude, you don't know the answer. It's very much related to our previous story before the break. They're crypto bros, bro. Yeah. Seriously, a lot, dude. I've been reading so many articles and been hearing so many news pieces. Maybe not so much lately because of the, you know, other news that's taken the.
I don't think that's what this is, though. I mean, some people are crypto bros. Some people have done good in crypto, but dude, especially now, we're in a bear market, man. It's like this rough business. How are these? I'm serious.
Listen,
I'm
okay. Listen,
feeding themselves and paying rent. I don't get it.
Listen, maybe I might actually be right. But the thing is, there were some positive statistics that came out during I'm taking like the devil's advocate side here, I guess, during the pandemic, that a lot of people actually started their own, started getting successful by being more serious about a hobby or a side hustle and turning it into an actual thing, like a real career, real
job.
That's
not what this is about, though. That would be working, though.
He's
talking about people. There is a pandemic of people not working and sitting and staring at waste time and aren't crypto bros and didn't start a killer side hustle and become entrepreneurs. That's not what this article is about. This article is about people just being lazy and doing nothing and caving on life. That's what's going on.
Right. Well, obviously it's related is what I'm saying, is that because of the pandemic, it affected the way people live their lives, the way people feel and act about all things work. And also his point about peacetime. I was listening to your segment in the first hour with, what was his name? Michael
Wilkerson.
Yeah. It's great stuff. And I like what you had to say.
Thanks, Giza.
Yeah, no problem. Mike Rowe here is talking about the same age group of people that you guys were remarking on, how young and what age the founding fathers were and how they were completely on a different level, right? And they were certainly able-bodied men, but they were also very able-brained men as well. They were very intelligent folks, right? So mm-hmm. You see this, there's this progression where, like, okay, in this case, they're not signing up for the military, right? And they're not working. In his mind, what he's talking about is they're not working the same hard, tough, like physical jobs like we used to, like generations before or whatever. Okay. That has been a slow, subtle change across decades now that cannot be just like attributed to one thing other than the fact that this is the rat race caged in office space cubicle system that they've done everything. They've emasculated the men is what it's called. The Alex Jones, they're turning the frogs gay kind of thing. So there's all these chemicals, all of the changes, the social engineering, what it means to be a man is absolutely nothing compared to what it was just 10, 20 years ago, even, you know what I'm saying? So there's a whole vast systemic problem affecting society and what it means to be a man and the foundations of that. And then that starts digging into what you and your guests were talking about, chipping away at that foundation of the family unit and ultimately what that leads to, right? I remember one of my first conspiracy theories, I suppose, that I got into or was introduced into next to chemtrails, actually, because that was actually the very first one. But the second one was about this addition of fluoride in the water. And I know a bit about fluoride because my dad was a dentist and he told me all sorts of horrible stuff about fluoride way before when I was like a kid and stuff. So I already knew what fluoride was and where it came from. So I was shocked to learn that stuff is being like purposely put in our water. You know, and I know what that does to the human spirit, basically, how that can chemically like lobotomize you in a way, like
castrate.
Take away your fighting spirit, like, you know, and that's what's important about being like a man, like full of testosterone, and the attack on what it means to be a man and to provide for the family. That's what this is. The focus has always been about. You need to destroy that, and everything else will follow. In the Garden of Eden, Satan, through the serpent, did he go to Adam and try to tempt the man? He was like, no way. He wouldn't be able to get away with that. Adam would have been like, no, you know, he would have taken care of that right away, right? Instead, he went to the woman, right? And did what he did with her. And then she was the one who was able to convince Adam. The serpent wasn't stupid. Satan's not dumb. He knows what he's doing. Otherwise, he would have gone directly to Adam. Why didn't he do that? Because that wouldn't stand, dude. Would never have happened.
Interesting too. This correlates. I love everything you just said, and it correlates directly with the last thing about the mother of disgraced crypto billionaire Sam Bankman Fried. There, I said it wrong because it's so satisfying. She wrote that essay, blasting personal responsibility, and that connects because it's people are disincentivized, and I do agree. I think there's aspects like fluoride in the water, and I think those things are real. But there's also just the psychological disincentivizing nature of that democratic philosophy that would lead to her writing an essay blasting personal responsibility. Because how could personal responsibility be a bad thing? But yet it's been demonized. Megyn Kelly the other day on her show was talking about how there needs to be a stigma about people not finding work and being out of work, because that helps correct when humanity goes off the rails. All stigmas aren't bad. They're corrective mechanisms that get us back on track. It's like we shouldn't feel comfortable doing nothing, staring at our phone, even if Ruckus thinks you've become an amazing entrepreneur and started a cryptocurrency mega billion. I still don't know how these guys are paying their rent, though. If you just quit life, does the government send you checks? What is this?
There's those programs, man. We've talked about this already.
All right. Well, let me go to a break. We'll move on to another subject right after these words on TNT.
Taking a look at your TNT radio news headlines, I'm Darren Metzer. U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has announced she will step down after 2 decades as the Democratic Party's leader in the chamber. A Dutch court has found 3 men guilty of murder for shooting down a passenger jet over eastern Ukraine in 2014, killing 298 people on flight MH17. And UK Chancellor Jeremy Hunt has vowed to restore the country's fiscal reputation with new taxes and spending cuts as the country plunges into recession.
For all the latest community events, rallies, marches, festivals, and fundraisers happening near you, visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website at tntradio.live. Stay in touch on TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast with co-host Adam Ruckus Clark. Biden to Americans feeling poor and cold, just spend thousands on solar panels and new windows. President Joe Biden says if you are cold and looking for some economic relief, then you just need to spend thousands on re-outfitting your home with energy efficient windows. Yeah, man, these people are tone deaf. And then I saw another report, I think I sent you, it's kind of related, about Nancy Pelosi being pushed into sainthood by the Hollywood elite. But there's just a real out of touch thing going on with these Biden administration cronies. What do you think, Ruckus? Are they just not aware of what's happening to people on the streets out here in America, or what?
Well, I don't. How am I going to retrofit my home with energy efficient windows if I'm just renting a small apartment, dude? It's not going to work. Huh. Weird.
Windows are expensive, dude.
Way to go, Joe. Oh, dude, unbelievable. But if he's encouraging them to make all these moves, every time a politician is like, oh, yeah, here's what you should do. Get yourself an electric car. Get yourself some solar panels. You should take this pharmaceutical product. There's a good chance that maybe, just maybe, they or someone that they're close to might be heavily invested in said companies or industries. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. One of those people is, as you mentioned, Mrs. Pelosi there. She's got a pretty good track record in the stocks.
Let them eat cake. Yeah. Well, remember in the pandemic, she was showing off everyone her like gazillion-dollar refrigerator and freezer
with
and
her ice cream
collection. Remember that?
Oh, my God. Yes, dude.
Let them eat cake, you know?
So jealous. Actually, that one hurt because I do like ice cream a lot. So yeah, she's just showing it off. But she's goners, huh? She took off. She did like some farewell speech or something. Probably people like throwing flowers at her feet. Did musicians play? Was there like crying? I want to know. Do you have the goods on this?
I think I just saw. I have the goods. I had a different article.
Did Barbara Streisand get verklempt?
Yeah, that's what it was. It was Barbra Streisand. Not that one, dude. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Yeah, it's Barbra Streisand. Hollywood celebrities are elevating outgoing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to sainthood after she announced Thursday that she will be stepping down as Democrat House leader following the Republican takeover of the House in the midterms, leading the quasi-religious outpouring of ardor were some of Hollywood's biggest leftists, including Barbra Streisand, Rob Reiner, George Takei, Alyssa Milano, and Mia Farrow. Man, that is a party I would not want to be on or at. Although I did like Barbra Streisand when she made that movie with Kris Kristofferson, A Star is Born, I think. That was good. What was it, Yenta or something?
Yentl.
I forget. Yentl.
Yeah, no.
Sorry. I didn't.
She's good.
I saw that in the theater when I was a kid. So, but anyway.
It might be a little bit of an age difference between us, but I seriously, seriously had the hots for Alyssa Milano when I was a younger lad. Big time.
Yeah.
So here, you're Barbra Streisand. As the article says, I was right. I called it. A clearly verklempt Barbra Streisand tweeted, "You are the best speaker there ever was. We will all miss you. Actually, the world will miss you. My love and best wishes to you, Paul. Love, Barbra." There you go.
So is there any responsibility that happens with these people doing all this like corrupt shenanigans and just being corrupt as the day is long, and then they exit stage right, they get a bunch of celebrities to tell them how great they are, and that's it, the end? There's no justice in this world, Ruckus. Who do we talk to about this?
Oh, I guess here at least we can call these people out for their shenanigans and hold some people's feet to the fire as much as we can. But yeah, where's the legal repercussions? How come, like I was saying about scam, bank run fraud there. I mean, whatever the dude's name is, he should be behind bars, dude. So should some of these people.
Absolutely.
Nancy Pelosi should probably be behind bars, because if you investigate her deep enough, she's probably guilty of insider trading. Just saying.
Well, it's obvious.
Yeah, I know. I mean, anyways, but we need to be able to prove that in a court of law and take, you know, the correct, you know, actions. You know what I'm saying? We don't need to do that. It's just, but how come that's all of these tools and options have just been taken away from us? You know, how convenient is that? If I'm not mistaken, I'm looking for it real quick, but I thought I'd seen on one of my news feeds today, same thing with another sainthood elevated media darling, Mr. Anthony Fauci. So I think he had some sort of big farewell. I know he had a farewell thing recently too. And I'm sure there were definitely people throwing flowers at that dude's feet. You know that. They burnt candles at altars to that dude. It's crazy. But yeah, some people never learn.
Sainthood. He was a religious figure at one point. Well, this segues into this next one, which, because I've been seeing reports. Okay, so Republicans get the House, right? So now they can investigate Hunter Biden. I saw this meme or tweet or whatever go around. What will they investigate first? Hunter Biden, Biden corruption, Hillary's emails, and there was another one. I forget what it was, though. But so Democratic operatives are reviving a partisan watchdog group to investigate the investigators. So there's a little tit for tat going on. And House Republicans who are preparing congressional investigations into the Biden administration. So we have the investigators investigating the investigators or something like that. Investigating. I'm going to investigate you if you invest. Well, hold on. Like, if you're going to investigate me, I'll investigate you. I'm going to investigate your house and your car and your plants and your shoe. It's true. If you're going to investigate me, I'm going to investigate you. Hello, geezer. What have you done to me? What have you done to the American people? Boo-hoo, I'm going to investigate you. So maybe they won't get away with murder in this case. You know what I mean? Maybe I know you're not like a big political guy, but you do know a thing or two about a thing or two, Ruckus. What is the significance of the Republicans winning the House, and how much trouble could Biden get in with? They must be a little scared if they're investigating the investigators. What's your take on this?
Yeah, first of all, did you ever see this movie called The Big Hit with Mark Wahlberg in it?
I like a Mark Wahlberg fan. I like a Mark Wahlberg film, I have to confess. I'm no fanboy, but I don't remember that one exactly.
It was an action comedy. It also had like Christina Applegate in there too, and a bunch of people. Good movie, highly recommend it. But there was a scene in there where they're setting up they're trying to trace a call, but then the people have what's called a trace buster, but unbeknownst to them, the other people have what they're calling a trace buster. And so it gets into this big, long, funny line where they're talking about, well, they don't know that I'm going to trace buster. And that's what this is. This is so freaking hilarious to me that it's like, we're going to investigate you. And they're like, oh, no, we're going to investigate you. And it's like when somebody says, I quit. Oh, yeah, no, you can't quit. You're fired. Like, what? It's so bizarre and childish, but there's a good reason. There's a very darn good reason, because the media, the mainstream media, and particularly the left side, would like you to think that they're, oh, how dare them. They want to investigate the president's son. No, this is literally an investigation of the president. This is an investigation of Joe Biden and why he lied to the American people about his knowledge and participation in his family's international business.
The
schemes.
Big guy. 10% to the big guy. That's what we want to find out
about.
This
is a big deal. So it's really stupid and silly and weird to me that how they're going to get out in front of it by like, well, before you do all that, let's investigate you first, because we want, like, what is this going to do? They're going to like, well, the people investigating us had a, you know, this guy says he's a vegetarian, but we caught him on film eating a steak. So anything he says from this point forward is garbage. He's a vegetarian denier. Like, what? I don't know what they're going to do with this dude. It's ridiculous.
Does it spell any real trouble for these guys? I don't know. You know, I don't want to get my hopes up high. You know what my post-traumatic stress disorder from all this is like. I'm liable to get all excited about this and think some real change could happen, only to be let down by a new news cycle that just obliterates this from public consciousness entirely. I don't want that to happen anymore, Ruckus. I can't take another disappointment. Is this something to get excited about, or is this a bunch of nothingness? Is this a nothing burger?
This is definitely something to get some popping corn ready over for sure. Like anything political, but this, if everything was above board, this is a good thing. This is definitely something to be excited about. Okay, this is what I mean. Even Trump would probably be like, "Yeah, this is let's get him. Let's this lock him up. Lock him." I can hear the chants already. Right. But yes, the House has every right to, because they're going to be in charge of the committee. So that, yes, they can start and run all of these investigations about pretty much anything they want to. That's their right now, you know, and if they have the majority, then, you know, they're going to be steering the direction of investigations clearly, and they'll be spearheading the head of the investigations too. So they'll be in charge of the whole affair. So it won't, you know, it's just the shoe is going to be on the other foot. In this case, you know what I mean? But how much good that's going to do, whether or not it leads anywhere, I don't know, because I need to do some investigation. Let's say the House committee finds Joe Biden guilty of something, right? Because I don't think this determines guilt or anything. This is just an investigation to find out, like, you know, expose the truth and what happened. From there, I need to see what the next part of that process is. And there's a good chance that that next part of the process would probably fall in the hands of the other ruling party, and in that case, it'll probably just get squashed or, you know, whatever. You know, it won't go anywhere. That's how all of these things work, you know? There's always one side of the... There's the two parties, dude. So the one does something, and the other one says, It's just this eternal back-and-forth sports game. Serve, block, back to you. Oh, I scored a point. Haha, got you one over there. You know, I'm so tired of it. I thought we'd be done with this stuff with the midterm elections wrapping up. But of course, those haven't even wrapped up yet. Sheesh.
That's true. They haven't wrapped up yet, but I don't know. I'm not feeling very optimistic for our Carrie Lake. I think she's doomed, but who knows? I shouldn't be a sourpuss about it. We'll be right back with much more right after these words on TNT.
The midterms, and America has voted. With his expert analysis, this is TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
Ding dong, the witch is going nowhere. For the second time this week, an overhyped, overamplified, overanticipated blockbuster announcement that was sure to set the other side's hair on fire fell flat. Nancy Pelosi announced today that she's going to remain in Congress and not seek the speakership, which is exactly what everyone who's been following this anticipated. Nancy needs to be there to teach election denier and Supreme Court delegitimizer Hakeem Jeffries where all the levers of power are. President Trump's announcement on Tuesday that he's running was similarly something that was to be expected. The real blockbuster might come from the Republicans' announcement that they are now investigating Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
Messages for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Aussie parents risk criminalization if they don't affirm their child's gender identity. The world has gone nuts. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Welcome back to Joseph Arthur's Technicolor Dreamcast here with Adam Ruckus Clark. Didn't we just hear Timothy Shea say Nancy Pelosi's still going to be in Congress? So she's just stepping down from Speaker of the House, I guess, but keeping her her feet in the game or her hands in the game or her
Yeah, that's why that makes that story that we covered so yeah. ridiculous. They're just crying and fawning over her just because she's stepping down as Speaker.
It's just nothing. It's just nothing. All right. Well, in a related story to what we covered yesterday about those weird euthanasia machines that I sent you this last night, right after we got off air, a struggling Canadian veteran offered medically assisted death by a VAC employee. So he was calling for help with his post-traumatic stress disorder. and she offered him the option of assisted suicide, which had sparked a lot of controversy and outrage. But it's alarming, to say the least. It's the descent of humanity when that's your go-to, or that could even be recommended. You know, even though they sort of like backtracked and said that this was a mistake and made all kinds of postures about how bad that was, still the fact that that's in somebody's consciousness and that they're doing that and that idea is coming more and more alive, it's just very strange. I don't know if you have any, did you happen to see that when I sent you that tweet last night or this morning? Did you check out that story at all, Ruckus?
I so far as the headline, because it was a video and I was going to bed, so I didn't watch it. But I get
that
the
was
idea.
Basically it. Yeah, that was it. I mean, it
but
was
I did
just,
notice,
you know,
in the first. I'm curious because I did notice in the first few minutes there's quite a number of images going on with phones and stuff. Was he offered this recommendation over the phone. Like on a hotline?
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
Hotline.
Dude, so this is so interesting. I mean, suicide is a serious problem gripping the world. Right. But here, because I understand this is in Canada, right? So let's look at what's happening here in America. If you look up the suicide rates in America, and in particular, the suicides of military veterans, okay, it's through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
And normally
there are
hotlines and people and full systems and everything put in place to help avoid that situation, to help those people not commit suicide. They have literally suicide hotlines, okay? And you're telling me in Canada, now they have got hotlines now that you call, and instead of them trying to convince you not to commit suicide, they're convincing you to commit suicide.
Suggesting
this is
it.
So absolutely asinine on its face. And absolutely scary, frightening. What does this mean for humanity? I have no idea, but it's certainly not good. Did they say that? Clearly, there was some pushback, and it looks like they
lots of
regret
it.
What happened or whatever. But the thing is, like, why?
Yeah.
Where does this employee get this idea from? Why is that even an option? Where they're like, oh yeah, you could always just kill yourself. Here you know. Again, yes, we were talking about this last night, but. It's
indicative. Yeah, they were saying it was a mistake, but it's indicative of something that, you know, she didn't just come out with that out of the blue. And the thing about that is, if somebody struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder, a guy who was a vet, who, you know, for him to get to the point of being able to reach out for help, you know, that's a tough place to get to. And it's hard for a guy of a certain type to ever get to that point, you know? So you can only imagine how vulnerable that is. And you're in a vulnerable mental state already. So who knows how many other people, and that's what they were going to investigate as well, how many other vets were recommended this same thing. So I don't know, there might be more stories like this coming out, but it's just, I don't know, the epitome of evil, if you ask me. It's crazy. It's hard to fathom.
There's a new word for it, too, that we get to use. Instead, it's not suicide, Joseph. We need to correct ourselves before we get fact-checked. It's medically assisted death, which last time I checked is MAD. It's literally mad, people. See?
Mm.
A bit on the nose, isn't it?
There it is. It certainly is, man, and just to step away from such a sad story, I really wish I had a chicken sandwich or something like that. I don't know. I don't have any chicken, but oh, wait, the FDA declares lab-grown chicken safe to eat. Maybe I'll just grow some right here in my studio. But scientists, food and safety advocates have questions, describing the development as a food revolution. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration on Wednesday said chicken produced using animal cell culture technology that takes living cells from chickens and grows the cells in a controlled environment is safe for human consumption. I'll have a fake chicken, lab-grown chicken cutlet with a side of crickets, please. Or should I get the worms with that? I don't know, maybe worm rice and lab-grown chicken. I don't want any of this ruckus. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned chickens? What's wrong with the way things were? These people are insane. What are they doing to our food, and why are they trying to make us eat their science experiments and insects?
And now lab-grown meat. Apparently, there's quite a number of startups focused. This gets a fancy word, too. I love all these new labels, Joseph. Election deniers. The other one that I just mentioned that I already forgot.
It's a food revolution.
I know. This one, it's cultivated meats. Oh, I remember what the other new term was, medically assisted death. And now we get cultivated meats. So it's not lab-grown meat. It's cultivated meats. And coming soon, because this is just chicken, but soon we're going to see beef, salmon, and tuna. So, woo! Mm. And this is all, so far, the first steps, because there's two more. There's just two more small regulatory steps remaining until the cultivated meat can be made available to the public. So this is just the first step, people. Don't get too excited yet, right? But obviously, it'll clear all these hurdles. But all of this is hinged upon approval from the FDA.
Then we can trust it. I mean, if the FDA is behind it, then it's fine. It's fine if the FDA says it's fine. That's all okay.
I would agree. I mean, the audience, kiddos, can you tell us, can you think of any recent product that the FDA has quote unquote approved that is turning out to be just darn skippy for everybody? Anyone?
Colonel Sanders is spinning in his grave. Well, baby, we were born to run. The boss has finally addressed the sky-high ticket prices. Well, this is what I've been wanting the boss to address. I'll tell you, Ruckus, this has been, you know,
right.
I've just been waiting for the boss to address the ticket prices. The sky-high ticket prices for his upcoming 2023 tour. For the first time in his career, Bruce Springsteen, 73, told Rolling Stone that he opted to use Ticketmaster's dynamic pricing model to sell tickets. This allows for extreme inflation based on demand, but fans were not pleased with the varying ticket prices, some reaching up to $5,000. That would really go into their budget, their medical budget, if they, never mind, I'm not going to even say that. But I really want the boss to address the old injection. I'm not too concerned about his ticket prices, although... Yeah, $5,000 is an incredible amount for to go see a concert. I mean, that's a lot of money, man. You could get a motorcycle for that, a good one. You could get like a used Harley and then pretend you're Bruce Springsteen for like the next 10 plus years. Baby, you're born to run. Just ride your Harley down the highway and blast Bruce. That's got to be better than a concert. But anyway, I don't know, Ruckus. Are these people in the music industry ever going to address the elephant in the room for many of us about what happened a couple years ago, or is this just a pipe dream? What do you think? And what do you think are the boss sky-high ticket prices?
I'll give you a one-word answer for all of those questions. No.
Well, gosh darn it.
I know. Hey, what's going on with all of this ticket stuff? I heard there's lots of big news going on with Taylor Swift and Ticketmaster. They got some big legal battle going on. I'm not sure if you're privy to all of that. So this came in right on the heels of that, and I thought it was somehow related. But I will say I am extremely shocked. There's no chance in HE double hockey sticks I'm paying $5,000 for a ticket to certainly not Bruce Springsteen, but any artist. I mean, obviously excluding the amazing and talented Joseph Arthur. I mean, that's no question. I would drop $5,000 in a heartbeat. But anybody else, no freaking way, people. Yeah, that's expensive, dude. You know what you could do with that $5,000? You could get yourself two tickets to that NY Times speaking engagement featuring Mr. Sam Bankman-Fried himself. Yeah. So,
or you get some new windows for your place for the winter. Yeah. So the Department of Justice is looking into the fiasco that was the pre-sale for Taylor Swift's upcoming Eras Tour. The ticket selling company reported that more than 14 million Swifties flocked to its website on Tuesday, resulting in crazy long wait times and limited and pricey tickets for those selected to take part in the verified fan presale. Man, she has got a lot of fans. 14 million. That's nuts, my friend. That's nuts. That's called You Made It, Taylor. But anyway, well, there I mean, you look go, at her, Ruckus.
Dude, I'm a fan. Anyway, but yeah, I'm a Swiftie. She's cool.
All right, dude. Well, we're rounding the corner to the weekend right now. What do you got for us, Ruckus? Give us some hope. Keep our dreams alive. Sign us out with something beautiful and profound.
I don't know. Sorry, I don't have anything beautiful and profound for everybody. I just, you know, I want the audience to have a wonderful weekend, be safe out there and mindful and aware of their surroundings at all times. It's a very important thing. Stay grounded in whatever you believe in, whatever your faith is. Be passionate and, you know, don't back down on your beliefs, folks. And Elon Musk, reinstate Alex Jones. Thank you for everything, Joseph. I agree. Love you, brother.
That was beautiful and profound. I knew you'd do it, man. See, I don't mind putting you pressure on because I know you'll come through. You always do, Ruckus. It's a pleasure, my friend. As always, have a great weekend. I look forward to talking to you again on Monday. And everyone out there, if you can't be good, be careful. That's what my grandfather, Joseph Leon, always said. And then he said, be good or I'll kick you in the head. But he was a nice guy. All right, everybody, have a great weekend, and we will see you again on Monday. Take it easy. Bye.